very, it's not the usual Christmas rendition, but it's still a Christmas story. So I ask you, you go to your New Testament, the New Testament of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So we can read. You see how John gives us the rendition of his Christmas, his rendition of the Christmas story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. I will begin reading at the first verse. I was reading to you this morning from King James Version. Let us pray. Lord of God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, once again, another time. Just a few of your handmaid servants, we gather around to hear what you have to say to us.
Thank you.
Oh, Father God, right now, we're not even worthy to call upon your name. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy. That's why we sit at your feet humbly, Father God, with open ears, without any restrictions, without any walls being put up. We just want to hear what you have to say to us. Because, Father God, we need a word from you.
Yes, Lord.
And without a word from you, Father God, what would we do? So we ask, oh, Father God, that you speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus.
Speak
to our hearts.
Speak, God.
Father God, you said in your word that heaven and earth will pass away before one jot, syllable, or decimal of your word passes away.
Yes.
So, Father God, we ask you this, allow your word to go forth with power and with might. Right now, in the name of Jesus, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, we plead the blood against him right now. Bind him, restrict him, remove him from this place. If he's still walking around here, Father God, we ask you to remove him right now.
Yes.
Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding.
Yes. Yes.
Allow this word to come plain enough so that a child
yes.
can understand
yes.
it.
Yes.
Father God, right now, give the action. We beg you, God, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And ask you to impart it to us, oh, Father God, so we can see clearly through the smoke screen of whatever our circumstance and our situation is at this present time. Father God, I'm unable to do it by myself. I ask you to use me in spite of me.
Yes.
This earthen vessel, this flesh, oh, Father God, falls short and never come. But, Father God, you said a long time ago that you called me to do this. So, Father God, I'm being obedient, and I'm standing, Father God, and asking you to have your way in this place. Break me, shape me, mold me right now. Let me say what you want said and do what you want done. Let me explain and exegete it like you want it to be done right now.
Yes.
In a manner so that whoever hears it, oh, Father God, even the smallest of child can understand it. We thank you right now in advance, and I would ask you, oh, God, that whatever's accomplished in this setting, in this place, we'll be careful that you give you all the praise and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes.
And we know that God's word is already blessed.
Yes.
I'm going to tag on this topic for your hearing. I'll be home for Christmas.
All right. All right.
Yes, Lord.
Let me take your seats in the presence of the Lord.
Home for Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I will in no way testify, dear fellow, that I am old. But I can share with you that I know that I am getting older.
Yes, Lord.
With 50 in my rearview mirror and 60 looking at me in the front of my dashboard, I want to let you know that there are some definite signs in my life that I'm getting older.
Yes, yes, yes.
Young folk will not be able to say amen, but those who know you are getting older will be able to testify with me.
Amen.
I know I'm getting older because some things hurt in the morning that didn't hurt when I laid down last night. I know I'm getting older when there was a time when I could eat whatever I wanted to eat, whatever time of day I felt like eating it. I know I'm getting older because there are more and more things that get on my nerves. I'm getting older because I can't listen to every radio station anymore. That music just gets on my nerves. I can't watch TV like I used to because 99% of what's on TV gets on my nerves. I promise if the show starts with the reel of anything, reel this, reel that, whatever, I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
There's one show I dare say I watch, honestly. I must say religiously, almost. That show came out in 2008, Deacon Drayton, on TV1.
Yeah.
The name of that show is Unsung. I can tell by your pitiful response that many of you don't watch it. But this show is a musical biographical documentary that looks at the story behind the story of some once famous R&B artists.
Yes.
Because of tragedy and mismanagement, drug abuse, whatever it may be, those once well-known artists are now unappreciated by later generations. Unsung goes behind the scenes to tell you why those who used to be at the top of their game, their names are not known in contemporary generation any longer. Unsung reminds us that behind every popular tale is a sad story that oftentimes is not known.
Yes.
If you've never seen Unsung, I want to let you know, they have a marathon coming on at New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Sit yourself down. You will hear the sad story behind the story of many artists like Teddy Pendergrass, Marvin Gaye, Donny Hart Hathaway, Phyllis Hyman, Roger Zapp, the Higher Player, Bootsy, the Gap Band. It reminds us that there is some sad, unsung story that is popular and well known.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, that is why I find myself attracted to this Gospel of John. Because John gives us the unsung story of Christmas. For many of our understanding and awareness of Christmas comes from the popular, well-known, commercialized version of Christmas that emanates from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. It is the Gospel of Matthew and Luke that tells about the angels, Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, about Bethlehem, the wise men, and the shepherds.
Yes.
The well-known story of Christmas comes from Matthew and Luke. The Gospel writer John does not just give us the popular story in John's version of Christmas. There is no angelic proclamation. There's no Mary's acceptance. There's no Joseph who must be taught to accept Mary's pregnancy. No story of angels, wise men, or shepherds. John tells the story of Christmas like this. And the words became flesh and dwelt among us. John, my brothers and sisters, gives us a deep insight to the story behind Matthew and Luke's version, so we may see the sad, story that surrounds the Savior's birth. In this opening prologue, John, as a matter of fact, the first few verses of the chapter 1, John makes three definite declarations that you need to hang your hat on if you will be able to understand anything else the writer will say. Number one, he wants to know that this Jesus has eternal existence. Mm-hmm. He has existed from eternity.
And read, if you were to read Matthew and Luke's version, you will find in Matthew where he traces the lineage of Jesus, he traces Jesus all the way back to Abraham. Talking about Matthew. That's because Matthew is writing to a Jewish crowd. And in order for them to accept that the claim that Jesus is the Messiah, he must anchor Jesus in the lineage of Abraham, who is the father of faith for the Israelites.
All right. Amen.
Therefore, Matthew said Jesus goes back to Abraham. Luke, however, is not writing to a Jewish crowd. He's writing to the erudites, the Gentile Greek crowd that has been shaped by the Platonic philosophy and value, antiquity. And therefore, Luke says, when you trace Jesus, don't just go back to Abraham, go back to Adam, who is the original Son of God. So that you might see that Jesus is anchored in antiquity, old stuff. But John, when he traces Jesus, John says, you must understand that Jesus goes further than Abraham. He goes beyond Adam.
Oh, yes.
He begins the birth of Jesus with these words, in the beginning.
In the beginning. Yes.
Come on, John. Yes. If you have a Bible or some of you have a phone and you have taken the time to read, if you have seen these three words before, because in the very first page of the very first book, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse of all scripture, you find these words, in the beginning. That's not coincidence. John anchors this Jesus in the very creative moment of God before time even begins to say Jesus has eternal existence. To say before time even began Jesus, or excuse me, before time even began, Jesus already was. He already was there.
Amen.
He has eternal existence. John also says he has an infinite identity. Not only was he in the beginning, but he was with God. And hold on, he was God. Hold on, that is a word for those of you who are of the Buddhist, Muslim, and Islamic persuasion. I need to be clear that Jesus was not a prophet of God. Jesus is not the image of God. Jesus is not a representative of God. Jesus is not some figure of God. Jesus is just not just some manifestation of God. No, get it right here. It's what John says, get it right. He is God. That this same God who created the heavens and earth is the God who became flesh in Jesus. The same God who walked with us in the wilderness is the God who showed up in Jesus. The same God who answers prayer is the same God who said, when you want to know who I am, come to you. I come to you in Jesus. He has infinite existence, infinite identity, and he is the cause of creation. For through him all things were made. I'm in the book. And without him nothing was made. That was made. John is saying, everything you see, this flesh, which is the word of God, caused it to be. In Genesis chapter 1, how does God bring things into existence? He speaks.
All right.
The sound of his mouth is so powerful, my brothers and sisters, that the words out of his mouth cause sun to exist and stars to show up and the land to be formed. His word brings creation. John says it is that word that now becomes flesh in Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, without him, nothing was made. This will be an equation for you, your life. Without him, you are nothing.
Amen.
Without him, you can't achieve nothing.
Right.
Without him, you can earn nothing.
Right.
Without him, nothing makes sense in life.
Amen.
The world was created by him, and the world created for him. The creation of God was literally made for Jesus Christ. I know you think the world is yours, but John says the world was made for him. This is the difference John has from Matthew and Luke. When you understand Christmas, Jesus was not God's gift to us. Hello? Let me go do that again. The difference between Matthew and Luke, when you understand Christmas, Jesus was not God's gift to us. According to John, we are God's gift to Jesus. How I know this is deep doctrinally, but I must preach it. We are literally God's presentation to Christ as a gift for him. You don't get me. How you can tell how well somebody knows you is what they give you for Christmas. Am I right about it? Here's what God says. Christ, the world is broken. Humanity is sinful. Iniquity runs across the land. Demons and devils have taken hold of my creation. But I'm going to give it to you because I know that you can do something with it. Y'all hear me? Help me, somebody. I know that you can work it, Jesus. This is what you have been waiting on because your blood can redeem it. John said he comes back to the world, oh my goodness, that he created and was created for him. Christ comes home for Christmas, shows back up in the thing he created and was created for him. Here's the unsung tragedy.
Come on now.
Verse 10, the world was made for him, but the world did not recognize him.
Yes.
It gets worse in verse 11, Sister Muffet. He came unto his own. And his own received him not.
That's right.
God's glory in their midst, and they did not know it. The theological lesson here is God can make his glory known, and you miss it.
Yes.
You've been praying, begging for God to show up in your life, but he did, and you did not know it. You were on the wrong page. You have no commitment to God. It is evidence of your presence in the sanctuary, your payment, and your tithe, your piety, your daily lifestyle. But you want the glory of the Lord to be in your life and your house.
All right.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I see church members all the time. I hear from them.
Yeah.
Always call. I know pretty soon they're going to tell Sister Morrison or whoever they think been here a long time. I told Pastor to pray for me, Sister Muffet. And he asked me, why can't I pray for myself?
Amen.
Why, you got a problem with your relationship? You got lacking in faith because you think you can't get your prayer through? Why do you feel you can't get your prayer through and Pastor can get your prayer through for you better?
Amen.
I'm a mere man just like you.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to watch over you, but what are you doing to improve your relationship with the Master? I never asked you why you come to church. Maybe that's why you feel you can't get your prayer through. Yeah. According to John, we are God's gift to Jesus. Yes, we are. He came to this world. He came a call for Christmas. And nobody knew who he was. Mary and Joseph went to the inn, knocking at the inn. They told the Master, the creator of the universe, there's no room in the inn.
Well,
matter of fact, he created the trees from the wood that your hotel was in, made of.
Well,
can I get a witness up here? It was God that put the ore in the earth. That made the nails that held the wood together that they in them hotel rooms were. But no, Jesus had to go to a manger. What an unsung story.
My God.
It seemed like he's at the top of his game in Genesis. Created the universe. Taught the waters how far to go. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Yeah.
Created the animals. The fish in the sea. Then reached down into mud. For they let us. This wasn't a singular thing. This was a plural. This was a collective effort. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Well,
so let us create man.
Yes.
Took him from the dust of the earth.
Yes.
Now I said, can I hang out right there for a minute?
Yes,
sir. I thought about it, pondered upon that scripture, because I don't understand. If God was God, why he just didn't make us looking like Jews? With skin of gold, diamonds for eyes. He could have done it. But he reached down in the dirt. Took some mud. Formed us out of mud. You see, God is the master planner. He's the orchestrator of the affairs of the world. I've told you before that he was the Lamb of God before the foundations of the earth. So this world that we're living in, what we're going through right now, we're just actors in this play. Because Jesus done walked this out before. He knows what part he got for you in this play. If you think you're in control of your life and you decide how you're going to know, you did not. You're living what he allows you to live.
Amen.
Because he know what part he got you. You might not be playing the right part right now, but he's getting you there.
Yes. Well, thank you, Lord.
Whatever way is necessary, the shepherd is leading you into what he wants you. Yeah, it's taking some of us longer than others to get there.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
He did all of that. Yes. But you can tell him to go to the manger. What a sad story.
My God.
There's joy found in children. That's why God sent his son as a child.
Yes.
Through a child. He could have sent a grown man.
Yes, he could.
Imparted him and placed him on a mountain. He had a demonic mind that would take out a child just to prevent him from coming. Harry with his wicked self. You may not have some children, but you should have some kids and see how that must have been your firstborn being taken. Jesus said, I'll be home for Christmas. Before I go deep, you must learn to have an Elizabeth moment in your merry miracle.
Well.
Don't you dare, church, hold my resume against me or my testimony. Mary had to go, even though she was a miracle, a walking miracle, she had to go and get an Elizabeth moment.
Yeah.
When God comes home to your life, you're going to have someone. And pray to God and allow someone to confirm what he's told you. Because we're like human nature, we don't wanna believe what God said. We have to get some confirmation. We just want God to show us he just speaks to us, but we don't know he's speaking to us. That's why your presence in church is so important.
Amen.
Because what you're going through in your life, in your prayer life, God confirms and passes get up with word.
Yeah.
Michael Franklin in Sunday school, Reverend Lyles, he's Sunday school, might be in Bible study. He's going to confirm his word.
That's right.
But if you forsaken the assembling of yourselves together,
come on now.
How can you get confirmation that God is moving in your life?
Yes.
Now, I'm a pretty strong individual when it comes to spiritual stuff. And Deacon Drayton, I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. Once I read in God's word, I settles it for me. We're almost not there yet.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in here?
Amen. Yes.
Once God sent his word, I'm not looking for it to happen.
Yes.
That's my struggle. You said it, God, when it's going to happen. It's not that I don't believe it's going to happen. I just want to know when it's going to happen. How long it's going to take.
Amen.
God said, I'll be home for Christmas.
Praise.
Just you wait and see.
Yes.
Say, I'm coming home, y'all.
Yes.
But you got to believe what my word
says.
If I said it in my word, you got to believe I said it. God said he was in the world and the world knew him. John said he was in the world and the world knew him not. Am I right about it?
Amen.
He was in the beginning. He created everything.
Yes.
But yet he decided he would put down, sit down glory. I cannot understand it in my mind. How God so big. So much sovereignty and royalty will allow himself to put on a weak, fleshly body. Listen to me, y'all. Come down here. Have y'all ever been in a barn? No, y'all from the city, right? Yeah. Y'all ain't never been in a barn, huh? With the animals?
Yes.
Especially some sheep. What? But the King of Kings,
come on now, say a word.
Came down in a manger.
Yes.
Do you know what the manger was? That was the feeding trough for the animals.
Amen. It was.
With the hay and the straw, with the slobbering cows and the horses and the goats were eaten out of. And that became Jesus' bed.
Yes.
Y'all are hearing me.
Yes. Well.
He said, this year, this is what I want y'all to do. He said, I said all this. This year, y'all don't forget what Christmas is about. Christmas is about me coming home. I'm going to remember you that whose I am, whose you are, and what you are.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
He said, yeah, I came in a manger this time. Next time I come, next time I come, Sister Furlow, I'm not coming as a little bitty baby.
That's right.
He said, next time I come, Sister Furlow, Sister Muffet, he said, I don't need a host of angels to announce me. He said, I'm going to crack the sky myself.
Yes.
The gospel writer in 2 Thessalonians said, and the trump of God will rise. Y'all ain't hear it. What sound? Oh, y'all hear me? It said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And said that we that remain, that know the Lord, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I thought about that twinkling of an eye. I know my eyes are kind of poorly, I've been told. And I got a twinkling on them every now and again. I twinkle don't last for long. Can I get a witness here? So if we be changed in the twinkling of an eye, oh, Sister Reed, you ain't hearing me. That means that soon as Jesus comes, the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Before Jesus crap, you will be changed in a twinkling. That means your glasses, you can say, don't need them no more. Instead of 20/20 vision, you will have x-ray vision. You can see through walls. If you can't walk so good, you won't have to walk because now you will give you some wings. You heard Jason show. Say, if these wings that you're going to give me don't meet me, meet me with another path. And it says that when Jesus comes, y'all watch me now.
Yes.
Come on.
That ain't the whole story. I'm out of here. The thing about it is this. When Jesus comes, everybody gonna see him. Herod, you got some Herods still in the world. They would have to send the wise men, say, go tell me if Jesus is down there in West Park. No. When he cracked the sky, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So you ain't gonna believe that he God, but when you see him crack that sky, every tongue will confess. And no, you ain't gonna put out no palm branches like it's Palm Sunday, because he ain't coming back here on a donkey. Revelation chapter 12 tells me that he's going to be coming back riding a white horse. Royalty. And he's going to have a sword, the word of God in his hand. You hear me? He coming as a conqueror. Royalty, a king. The second time around. So when I think about Christmas, I see the baby, but I think about he came so he can come back again. He came so he could come back in glory to take me home with him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And the Bible said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Things that used to be will be passed away. Everything will be new. No more weeping. No more paying the light bill. No more paying the mortgage. No more bank deposits you gotta do. You ain't gotta convince people to come to church. And I'm gonna tell y'all, tell those people who don't like to come to church, don't be trying to run into Jerusalem and get saved, because our door's gonna be locked. Because I'm not coming in over, I'll be gone.
Jesus.
He said, I'll be home for Christmas. He's coming back, y'all.
Yes, he is.
He's coming back. That in itself ought to just, you know, and we live in the last day. The Bible laid it out. The Bible laid it out right here. It lays it out. I know you say, y'all know some of you say, you know, my grandmama and great-great-grandma, that day she was saying the same, they were saying the same thing. They were saying the same thing, but we living in another age. We live in another age. He coming, y'all.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Put your hands in here, God, a hand clap.